There is a story in the Daily Dead Fish Wrapper, the Seattle Times, that lauds the fact that twice as many kids will be in state-paid full-day kindergarten in Washington State. It's $50 million, and the Fish Wrapper calls it an investment by the state legislature. I call it a waste of time and money. I call it state-funded daycare. And let me tell you why I call it that, but first let me tell you the way the Associated Press, which tilts to the left, describes this. Thanks to pressure from a successful school funding lawsuit against Washington State. Hey, isn't that the best way to make decisions, is have somebody sue the state and make the state do it? Not by citizen votes and initiatives, not by referenda, not by legislative action, not by smart management by the folks that you have put into office or the folks chosen by our elected officials to run government. No, let's have government by lawsuit. Isn't that a brilliant way to run the state of Washington? But thanks to that lawsuit, and they say, and a $50 million investment by the state legislature, twice as many children will be in state-paid full-day kindergarten this fall. The change affects kids in 269 schools in 38 of Washington State's 39 counties. Now, let me tell you something. Every study of full-day kindergarten says it's like chicken soup. It couldn't hurt, but there's no proof it actually does any good. So, would you take a pill that your doctor said, take this pill, will it cure what ails me, doc? No, but it couldn't hurt. And it's only $50 million. Do we really have the excess of money? Heck, I'm a Washington State resident. I pay taxes in Washington State. I thought the legislature was chronically broke. That's what I keep hearing from Olympia every year and every time they write a budget. We're chronically broke. What's wrong? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. This kind of thing is wrong. There is early childhood education that comes before kindergarten, and every single university study that's ever been done of Head Start, notice they don't call it that anymore because they want to escape the fact that Head Start has been proved to be a multi-billion dollar waste of money. I know it makes some people feel good because it means that parents with small children don't have to pay out of their own pocket for daycare, which I think is a parent's responsibility. If you decide that you want to put your kids in daycare instead of keeping them at home with mom or dad, fine with me. But it doesn't actually change the education outcome. All those university studies say you put those kids in early childhood education, and by second or third grade, you can't tell the educational difference between a kid who got Head Start, or whatever you want to call it today. The president doesn't even call it Head Start anymore because he knows that Head Start has been proved to be ineffective. It does no harm. On the other hand, it does no good, and it costs a lot of money. Full-day kindergarten is the same way. If you go and look at the academic studies, and I've taken the time to do this, I understand parents are thrilled about it because what they're saying is, I used to have to hire daycare for half a day. Now the state pays for it. And then I'd ask you this, as a taxpayer, as a parent, as a grandparent, as somebody who has small children in your family anywhere, do you want the state paying for something that does not change the education outcome for your kids? Number one, that's question number one. Number two, do you think we have the extra money to be able to throw away $50 million on something that will not make the kids better students in the future? They will be the same as those kids who don't get full-day kindergarten. Frankly, an awful lot of what they teach in kindergarten are the kinds of things that you ought to be teaching your kids yourself. You ought to sit down and teach them numbers and names and colors. You ought to exercise their ability to speak. And I want to throw out a number. It just occurred to me. I love numbers because I think numbers won't tell you everything about the world, but numbers do a good job of giving you a direction or an idea of where things are going. They did a study a while back, and this is from the Daily Mail in London. They were talking about the fact that there's a difference in kids who come out of some families versus other families. So here's what you find out. In the average family where the parents don't work, they're on government assistance, those kids will hear in the course of a year about 3 million words spoken by their parents, probably to each other for the most part, but sometimes to other family members. That's 3 million. The average child growing up in an average working family where mom and dad work average jobs will hear about 6 million words spoken between those two people. and the average child in an affluent family, and these are just numbers. They're not meant to show a bias that affluent families are better than poor families or working class families, but the average child in a family with affluent parents, probably college educated, will hear 11 million words spoken. And ask yourself why that might be. If you're living in a family where mom and dad don't work, they watch television, they play video games, they find other ways to occupy their time, how much are they saying to each other? Apparently not very much. About a quarter of what's being spoken in those affluent college-educated families. Now, I don't have a university degree. My wife doesn't have a university degree. But believe me, when my two stepkids, Tina's kids, that have been my kids for the last, about 17 years, when they were at home, they're now both young adults, but when they were at home, they would come home, and what would they hear? They'd hear a lively conversation. Doesn't mean I brought the talk show home, but I'd come home and Tina would say, "Did you see what they did over here?" And I'd say, and it wasn't usually about the stuff, did you get milk or did you pick up bread or is there gasoline in the car? It was usually about things going on around us, in our family, in the world, and we talked about those things. Now, that's not rocket science. Somebody who's poor can still talk to his kids a lot. But what we've now got is, and that's cheap. Think about how cheap that is. If you just say, when my child comes home every day, whether I am rich, whether I'm working class, whether I'm dirt poor and on state assistance, I can talk to my kid. And that doesn't cost a dime. Just talk to your kid. Find out things. My dad used to be, my dad was a Navy guy 20 years, went to college in his 40s, became a forest ranger, was a national park ranger at Mount Rainier for a while, which is why I spent some of my growing up time there. He talked about stuff all the time. And it wasn't usually politics. He did a little bit of politics, but more of it was we would see something happening, and I'd say, how come it works that way? You know, how come that airplane can fly? And we'd look stuff up, and we'd talk about it, and he made me figure things out and look things up. And kids, this was in the pre-internet days when we actually had to look into paper books. But it worked, and it's carried through to today. I sit around with my friends, and when we're just talking, just jawing, we will routinely have an iPad or a smartphone somewhere, and somebody will say, "Hey, I wonder how that works," and somebody else will look it up. And if we're going to watch television, we watch things like Modern Marvels and, you know, the History Channel, the Biography Channel. Not that we're doing, you know, all the high-blown stuff all the time, but this is how you get kids to learn more. How do you subsidize families in daycare? You do what the legislature did in Olympia. You put $50 million into state-paid full-day kindergarten that does not change the education outcome for those kids, not one little bit. And it's lauded by the Seattle Times and by the AP and probably just about everybody else. I mean, it takes guts to be a reporter who says, "Hey, is this state-paid kindergarten actually worth what we're spending on it?" When was the last time you heard a reporter ask about that? Anyway, if you want to join the conversation, we're going to talk about that, about leaving babies in hot cars, about the new wolf saboteurs, about the state of Washington delaying the new marijuana sales rules. I hate to wake up the 420 crowd too early in the morning. They can be cranky when they don't get their sleep. But before we go to break, let's go to Rich in Kitsap County. Hey, Rich, welcome to the program.
Hey, Lars. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Commute with Carlson.
I'm making a living by delivering the fish wrapper.
God bless you. Somebody has to do it.
I got to tell you, the whole thing about kindergarten, I just had my daughter come out of kindergarten last year.
Yeah.
First grader this year. In my district, North Kitsap County School District, full-day kindergarten is available at no charge. You can choose half day, either AM or PM, or full day. And you don't have to pay for it.
No charge to you. Charge to the rest of us taxpayers. Thank you very much.
What I'm saying is I don't understand why the state needs to pay $50 million for full-time, all-day kindergarten. Most school districts already offer it in this state.
I'll tell you why. Because the teachers will get the majority of that money. They'll say, "You want me to work twice as many hours with these kids? I want twice as much money. That's where the money goes. Rich, thank you for the call. I'm glad to be filling in for John, because usually you hear me on KVI nights from 6 to 9 o'clock, and instead I'm on in the morning at the other end of the clock. Let's get to David, who's calling in from Kent, who sees some benefits to, is it kindergarten or daycare or Head Start? Which one is it, David?
To an extent, you're correct. The early age benefits of preschool and daycare are very moderate. And in some cases, there's depending on how it's implemented, there can even be some negative effects.
That's
there's
true.
Some studies that show that there's some studies that show the long term. I mean, like once they get up to high school, that they're more likely to graduate. And there, there's one study that showed that
I've never seen a study that shows increased high school graduation as a benefit from Head Start. In fact, every university study, and I rely on the university studies because they're the supposedly smart people. They've looked at Head Start and every other program that they call something other than Head Start, because Head Start doesn't have the best reputation. Every one of those studies says by second or at most third grade, every single difference washes out, and you can't tell the difference academically between the kids who had Head Start and the kids who did not. So how you then project forward, 10 years and say we're going to see more of these kids graduate or not graduate, I don't know how you'd make that connection. But if send me the study, by the way, I'd love to see it. But do you think it's worth $50 million for the people of Washington to fund full-day kindergarten?
Well, it really does depend, because
on
at
what?
Least according to this, well, because it says of the two-thirds of the number of arrests by age 27 fell by half. So it depends if you're paying up front.
Hold on,
front,
I'll say that again.
That's
some two-thirds of the arrests fell by half. What does that mean?
Well, at least for this study group, they were monitoring them over several decades, and it said the number of arrests by age 27 fell by half. I'm assuming that's against some specific population. It's not a very detailed study.
No doubt.
But it's just a summary of the... But I've also read other scientific articles related to that... certain types of conditions children experience.
Don't read to me. Just tell me what you're thinking about this. Tell me why it makes sense, and tell me if this isn't actually glorified daycare at the expense of state taxpayers for parents who have small children. Because that's what it sounds like to me. Oh, that, and not to mention the fact that by doubling the amount of time spent in kindergarten, you have to hire more teachers, put them on the clock longer, and that means more reliable Democrat votes for Democrat politicians.
Well, I would agree only if the implementation was done very unscientifically. And
how do you scientifically teach a kid the numbers, the letters, the colors, and the kinds of things that they teach in kindergarten? They ain't teaching algebra in kindergarten.
Well, there's what you could do is you can analyze the different processes that work. And you can correlate which ones are more likely to work. The other things is, like, right now kids can teach themselves a lot of things if you just give them a computer. So if you take advantage of
the technology...
They
can also waste an incredible amount of time if they're not directed in how to use that. But let's go to kindergarten-age kids. What is a kindergarten-age kid who can't read or can read only a small amount going to learn from a computer that's primarily about the written word, unless all you're doing is watching YouTube videos?
Well, it really does depend exactly on how that process is developed. Because my background is software engineering, so I can tell you that it's really simple to actually design a program if you have educational specialists directing the project to make tools just for children to educate them.
Is any
so
of
you can
this
actually
a part? Oh, hold on a second. Is any of this a part? I mean, are you just talking about, in general, software programs for education? I'm not against them. Khan Academy, I think, is a fantastic program for older kids. But are you talking about the specific thing they're doing? Because in Washington State, they've doubled the amount of kids in in all-day kindergarten. And none of that is necessarily about putting them in front of computers or running special software. It's just saying your kids are going to be warehoused twice as long, and I assume they'll get two naps instead of one, and probably two doses of graham crackers and milk instead of one, and they'll get twice as much time on numbers, colors, letters, words, and things like that that you teach in kindergarten. So instead of talking about theoretical possibilities with computers, tell me what the kids are actually going to get out of twice as long in kindergarten.
I don't think they'll get necessarily anything unless the quality of the education system goes up.
Well, how do you improve the quality of the education? I know how I would improve it. I would start taking every teacher that doesn't meet muster. In fact, there was a, I'm trying to remember who it was. There was a top corporate executive who Go ahead.
I agree with that, because unless a teacher can deliver on quality education, there's no point in them being a teacher. If you look at what Korea is doing right now, they actually have some sort of competitive system where teachers actually are earning money by selling their education plans. Like, if our teachers really wanted their...
Well, they do that in the United States, too, and believe me, it's just another way for the teacher to sell the latest, greatest curriculum to the district that they'll use for 2 or 3 years and then ditch it and buy a new one. It's a great way to waste money and kind of tread water because you don't know what works. But tell me this, when was the last time you heard the state of Washington fire any great number of teachers? Unless, of course, it was teachers who were sleeping with students. But other than that, when was the last time you heard the state of Washington laid off or fired the worst teachers?
Well, let's see. In the last 4 or so years that I've been up here, none.
None. Exactly. Now, do you know of any company where 100% of the workforce was excellent at their job?
Or none.
Do you? None. It's the commute with Carlson, Lars Larson, standing in for John.